Last time we were together focusing on Christology, we were looking at John chapter 1, verse 1. We saw the "in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." It is the referred to as ego I am, which, if you all remember, we looked at a parallel of it. And what does that was, the word was, what's the parallel word of the Hebrew? Y'all remember this? It's been a little while. Yeah, it's the Hebrew I am. So that self-existent one, that name of God that is given to... Who's that guy that gets the name of God in the Old Testament? Jacob, Moses, David, Jesus? Who is the guy that is told this is the name of God? Who is it, Blake? Melchizedek. Well, that's a new one. Anyone else? Adam? No, he names the animals. He's not given the name of God. Who is it? Abraham. That's a different one. Did you say Joseph?
No. All right, guys. We got to remember what he just told us, all right? List off the names.
You didn't say no to any of them.
Okay, I'm saying no to all of them but the right one because no one else has picked up on it. Who is it that's given the name of God in the Old Testament? Good. All right. Cameron's got us some context because Zedekiah kept trying to feed you guys the answer. It's Moses. All right. Moses is like, well, who do I say sent me? I am that I am. The I am. Okay. So that was the John chapter 1. All right. Pressing on. Let's go to John chapter 8. Go to John chapter 8. A couple references here, because one of the reasons why we're looking at this is... Oh, DJ's very important. He's got a phone call. Oh. All right. Looking at 8:58. Everyone who would call DJ's in this room.
Just because I tuck in my shirt.
All right. All right, so one of the things, the objections, Albert, let me ask you this. Did Jesus ever claim to be God?
Yes.
Okay. Do people articulate an argument that Jesus never said he was God?
Yes.
Okay. They do. So what I want to look at, one, is John chapter 1, verse 1, where, yes, Jesus claimed to be God. He equated himself with the I am. Now look at John chapter 8. We'll pick up in verse 48 to get some context. Anyone want to read? All right, Zedekiah, go ahead. Read 48 through the end of the chapter. All right, so in this passage, there is this accusation against Jesus of, like, who are you? And Jesus' response is that he is one who glorifies the Father. So let's pick up here about most of the way through this passage, where Jesus picks up in verse 40 or 54. He says, "If I glorify myself, my glory is nothing. It is my Father who glorifies me, of whom you say he is our God." So Jesus claimed to be the Son of God. He classified the Father, who they label as their God, as his Father. Okay? Verse 55. But you have not known him. Can you imagine being a Jew who's like been told forever that they worship the true God, and then this guy standing there says, you don't know him. All right? But you have not known him. I know him. If I were to say I didn't know him, I'd be a liar like you. Now he's called them liars. Jesus knows how to win friends and influence people, doesn't he? He says, but I do know him and I keep his word. Then he says, your father Abraham rejoiced that he would see my day, and he saw it and was glad. So Jesus says, Abraham saw me and knew me. What's their response? It's impossible. Why? They give an argument why it's impossible. You're not old enough. What number do they throw out? Yeah, you're not even 50 years old. You're going to tell us that you're not even 50 years old and Abraham saw you. Now, maybe if you were like 3,000 years old, sure, maybe we could believe that. But you're not. And then Jesus' response to them is, truly I say to you, before Abraham was, I am. Now, what's Jesus claiming when he says that? Before Abraham was, I am. What's he claiming? That he's God, he's infinite. Anyone else? What is he equating them to? What are they supposed to be connecting dots to? Right. He's supposed to be connecting dots to that it is the ego, which is I, a me, am. It's the self-existence. All right. So how do you think a Jew would respond to that? Yeah. How did the Jews respond to that? Robert? What? Yeah, they start picking up stones because they're going to throw rocks at him. Tyler, what is their objective in picking up stones? Yeah, and what's stoning a person do? Typically, it kills them. Sometimes they're ineffective. They did that with Paul. They tried, and they left him for dead, but he got up. They tried. Yeah. So they pick up these stones to throw at him, and what does he do? He puts on his invisibility cloak, and he walks out through the temple. All right. There you go. Sure, if that helps you understand it. All right, and where was he when he did that? He's at the temple. All right. So there's John chapter 1, verse 1. We see that he claims to be equal with the God of the Old Testament. John chapter 8, verse 58. We see that he is... Yeah. We see that he also claims to be God. Yeah. DJ, why is your phone ringing? Oh, is that what it is? Alright. So, next one. Let's look at Hebrews chapter 1, verse 8. You could turn over there. We'll look at these. Go to Hebrews chapter 1. Wow, I guess we need to have some sort of a contest or threat when you don't bring a Bible. Yeah. Got Bible candy? Oh, yeah? I could do Bible cereal. You can... get a cup of cereal if you... In Hebrews chapter 1, Hebrews 1, verse 8. Hebrews chapter 1 is basically an explanation on who Christ is and why he is supreme. If you look at verse 1, it says, long ago at many times in many ways God spoke to our fathers by the prophets, but in these last days he's given us a better messenger. He's spoken to us by his Son, whom he has appointed the heir or the owner of all things, through whom, through that Son, through that heir, he created the world. That Son, he is the radiance of God, the radiance of the glory of God, the exact imprint of his nature. And he upholds the universe by the word of his power. and after making purification for our sins, he sits down at the right hand of the Majesty on high. That having become as much superior to angels, so he's better than the angels, he has inherited a name that's more excellent than theirs. And then the author of Hebrews, whether it be Luke or Paul, or someone else, but Luke or Paul are the two predominant arguments of the author, he starts quoting the Old Testament. Let me give you a few reasons as to why Jesus is better. Which of the angels did God ever say, "You're my son, I have begotten you"? Or did he say, "I'll be to him a father and he will be to me a son"? Did he say that to any angels? Nope. Or what about, again, when he brings the firstborn into the world and he says, "Let all God's angels worship him"? And then of the angels, he says, he makes his angels winds and his ministers a flame of fire. He says that of the angels. However, of the Son, and this is the verse we were looking for, of the Son, he says, so who's the he? Who's the pronoun he referring to? What's the antecedent? You know what antecedent is, right? Cameron, you've got a high school education under your belt. What's an antecedent of a pronoun mean? Let's break that down a little bit. Jeremy, what's a pronoun? What's a pronoun? Give me the definition of a pronoun. A person, place, thing, or idea is a noun. These are pronouns. So these are professional person, place, things. No. What's a pronoun? All right, it's a word that stands in place of a noun.
So I'm guessing what you're trying to ask is, what is this word that stands in place of a noun? Like, who is it talking to?
Yes. The pronoun he is referring to someone. So if I said, he walked into the room, which guy am I referring to? Yes. That's the antecedent. The antecedent is... pronouns stand in place of a person, place, thing, or idea. And antecedents are the word of which that pronoun stands in place. Which is why sometimes it can be confusing, because it's like, which he is it referring to if there have been several guys that have been mentioned or several names that have been mentioned. So, now that we understand grammar, let's go back and look at this. But of the Son, who's the Son? Of Jesus, he, who is the he? Of Jesus, God says, your throne, and what title does he give him? Your throne, O God, is forever and ever. And the scepter of uprightness is the scepter of your kingdom. You have loved righteousness and hated wickedness. Therefore, God, your God, has anointed you with the oil of gladness beyond all your companions. And you... Lord, laid the foundation of the earth in the beginning, and the heavens are the work of your hands. And they will perish, but you will remain. They will all wear out like a garment, like a robe they will roll up, and like a garment they'll be changed. But you are the same, and your years have no end. And then to which of the angels did he ever say, sit at my right hand while I make your enemies your footstool, a footstool for your feet? All right, so why are we looking at all this? Does Jesus... claim to be God, or does he have any authority that he could be on par with God? The answer is yes. Now, the arguments as to why can Jesus be on par with God are this. Number one, he is the continually existing one. The one that is self-existent, standalone, needs nothing else, and has been for all eternity. In connection with John chapter 1, we went and we were pointed back to, in the beginning, there he was. In John chapter 8, we went to the first Jew, in which Jesus says, before the Jews were starting, I was there. Then we go to Hebrews chapter 1, and we see that he is before all things, or that he will reign forever and ever. His kingdom will have no end. His throne will have no end. And then we see one last verse on this concept of his eternality of his self-existence. It really kind of all goes in together. And that's in Colossians chapter 1, verse 17. Colossians chapter 1, I'll start reading in verse 15. If you guys want to join me there. Colossians 1:15, he says, "He is the image of the invisible God. He is the firstborn of all creation. For by him all things were created, in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities. All things were created through him and for him. And he is before all things, and in him all things consist or hold together. He is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that is in everything he might be preeminent. For in him all the fullness of God was pleased to dwell," so completely God, "and through him to reconcile to himself." What does reconcile mean? Reconcile means to make new? To bring together? What did you say, Blake? To rebuild?
Hey, Siri, what does reconcile mean?
Really?
Coexist in harmony.
To coexist in harmony. To restore friendly relations between, according to DJ's Siri request.
What did I say?
I don't remember. All right, to balance out, right? If you guys don't use them, but to reconcile a checkbook or a bank account is the idea of to balance it out. It's to bring it back into unity. That's the idea. So he reconciles to himself all things, to bring back in together, in unity, all things, whether it's on the earth or in heaven, and he makes peace, how? By the blood of his cross. All right, so let's talk about this and kind of wrap up the concept of this New Testament references of who Christ is. And then I have a question, because there's a tough concept in here. All right, Jesus being described as the image of the invisible God, firstborn of creation, is before all things. So he was in existence before all creation. He's eternal. All right, now let me ask you this. When was Jesus born? Because it says he is the firstborn. Verse 15, he is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. Says he's the firstborn of the creation. Look, Jeremy, does your Bible app say that? It doesn't say that? Verse 15. Firstborn of all creation. All right, so Jeremy, when was Jesus created? All right, so according to Ben, Jesus was the first piece of creation. That's what I want to know, Ben. I need answers. Because Jeremy has just told me that Jesus is the first item created. But the Bible says he's the image of the invisible God. He is the firstborn of all creation. Go, DJ, and then we're going to go to Zedekiah.
Does everyone know what the Trinity is?
Yeah.
Okay, if you don't know what the Trinity is, to make it simple.
We went through that. You weren't here.
Yeah. Okay, you guys know what the Trinity is. Let's make it simple. All right. We all know that God can't be Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit can't be Jesus, and Jesus can't be God all at the same time, but they are God.
Jesus can be God at the same time.
No, I mean the Father. Jesus.
Okay.
All at the same time.
Great.
Both God. the Father and Jesus can't be both God if Jesus was created. What do you think?
Wait, that was your answer? Okay. All right, Zedekiah, you had your hand up. So let's re-ask the question. Colossians chapter 1, because here's my beef. All right? If Jesus is eternal, if Jesus is before Abraham, if Jesus is there at creation, my Bible says, your Bible says, you've looked at it, Colossians chapter 1, verse 15, it says he is the firstborn of all creation. Firstborn means firstborn, right? That's what it means. DJ is the firstborn. Zach is the firstborn.
Do you think because he's the second Adam, and that could have counted because he's fully man and fully God? He's considered to be the second Adam because, what do you think? Because Adam was the first.
Oh, I know what I think. The problem is I've got a Sunday school class that really likes to just zone out and not pay attention to anything, and I'm pointing out to you that unless you have an answer for me, your Bible is telling you. You tell me. That's not what it says, though. I can use this as a proof text that Jesus is a created being. He's the firstborn of creation. Now prove me wrong. Zedekiah.
So, my Bible has a footnote that says that Paul isn't actually using it to mean Jesus is literally created the firstborn. He's using it to mean that because especially in that time period, and even like up to later, probably 17th, 18th century, the firstborn had all privileges.
Okay, so you're saying that because the firstborn was to receive all the inheritance, that's why Jesus is the firstborn of creation, because he receives all the inheritance.
Yes. And then he gives a reference to Psalm 89:27.
And Psalm 89:27 says what?
It says, I will make him the firstborn, the highest of the kingdom of
earth. Alright, I'll make him the firstborn, the highest of the kingdom of earth. Alright. Go back to Colossians chapter 1. Hopefully you guys are there. If not, what? Who gets the gold star? Oh. All right. Take a moment. Look at Colossians chapter 1. I read verses 15 through 20. Take a moment, read those verses, and see if you can prove my argument wrong based upon that passage. Right. Yes. Okay, Zedekiah says verse 17. Verse 17 says, and he's before all things, and in him all things hold together. That just means that he was the first and the one holding the rest together. Good. You just proved my point better. God made Jesus, and then Jesus made everything else. Tyler. Humans were made in his image, and Christ is before all creation.
In the KJV, it says, who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature?
Right.
So everything that comes after
him. Right. Firstborn, meaning he is the first created thing. He's the first created thing of all the creation. Of all the creation that exists, he's first. Jesus is created. So you're going to make an argument based upon the presence of one translation using the word before.
Oh, the first one.
How about we go to John?
Wait, Cameron, what you got me? Firstborn from the dead. What verse are you looking at? 18. And he is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in everything he might be preeminent. Cameron, why is that a proof text to say, no, Jesus was not the firstborn creation, that he is not the first created thing? Cameron gets this. He found it. Okay, what is firstborn from the dead? Okay, so let me ask these questions. Cameron, you are absolutely correct in that that is the usage of firstborn there trumps the idea that the usage of firstborn in verse 15 means that Jesus was created. Now, let's talk why. Okay, number one, Cameron, answer these questions for me. Is Jesus the first person to die? No. All right? So does that mean being firstborn of the dead mean that you are the first person to die? So then can firstborn of the creation mean that you are the first one to be created? It does not have to. There is in... All right. Within... Yeah, they do have like this volume button. You push it and it goes all the way down. Makes no noise. All right. So, here we go. Firstborn does not have to mean that you are the firstborn. Because Jesus is clearly not the first person to die. Well, maybe Cameron mentioned the resurrection. Okay, Cameron, is Jesus the first person to rise from the dead? So then clearly it cannot mean that being the firstborn of the resurrection means that it has to resolve the issue that, well, he's the first person to do that. So then, what we're left with is this. Maybe firstborn, what we see as firstborn, does not actually mean to be born first. But instead, which is what Zedekiah's footnote led him to, is that it is, you are given the preeminence, the primary, literally the Greek word there has proto, it's the first. You are the first type, the first kind, the one who gets it all. So, when it says firstborn of creation, he's not saying of all creation you're firstborn. Because if that were the argument, then three verses later when he throws out the word firstborn again, but referring to dead, it would have the same meaning. Either the word means the same, all right? In language it's called semantic range, meaning this word can mean these things, okay? He's using it in the same context though. So it is a position of preeminence. It's a position of priority. It's a position of authority. He's given it over creation. Jesus comes before all creation. And when it comes to death, he is over all death. Because that is the position that he has earned, which verse 20 says, he did that by making peace by the blood of his cross.